News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. With Natalie Fox from USA Health, and she joins us on this Monday. She did a week ago with the uptick with the Delta variant. We thought we would check in and get her side of the story and what she knows and what she sees and the trends that are coming this way, maybe the trends that are a few weeks away, hopeful trends, maybe. Natalie, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a lot for us to get to. I just promised it. A lot of data coming from you, so get ready.
Yeah, the big news over the last week is the CDC's recommendation that children wear masks, that everyone wear masks,
especially in
some of the regions of the country. I think they said 2/3 that we're seeing increasing or high levels of COVID transmission. So let's just start with the spike. Now, we saw that numbers were very low after the winter peak in January and February. Over the last couple months, we've seen some low numbers. So this most recent spike, are we seeing a lot more hospitalizations, or what exactly are we seeing?
We're seeing all of it, and it's a step in the wrong direction. I don't think that any of us are excited to see the new mask mandate come out, but it's definitely something that we have to do for mitigation. And, you know, especially for those of us who've been vaccinated, you know, now it's recommended that we wear masks also at all times, including, you know, the pediatric masking. And I think that, you know, a lot of that has to do with what we're seeing with this Delta variant. And basically, you have about 1,000 times more of the virus in your secretions, and you can spread it to other people. And we're, with the Alpha variant, they really did not think that, you know, even if vaccinated people got a breakthrough case, that they could spread it. So again, as disheartening as it may have for masks to come back out, it's definitely what we have to do in mitigation to try to help stop this thing, because it is quickly snowballing in our area, especially in Mobile and Baldwin County.
So the Delta variant, more transmissible. What are you seeing so far regarding the severity of it? Is it less deadly, more deadly than some of the original strains? Does it make you sicker or less sick? Or we know it's more transmissible, but what about the outcome?
Yeah, we are seeing some sicker patients, right? Higher level of acuity. I think I talked about a little bit last week that the patients that we're seeing are requiring some of that supplemental support, which ultimately leads to hospitalization because they need airway support. They need oxygen, things like that. So, we are seeing the increased severity in these cases. And we're also seeing something else you mentioned, which is an increase of pediatric cases. And that's something that we all need to be very cautious about and take this seriously as the pediatric cases rise. You know, there's not near as many pediatric hospital beds in our state, our area, our county, as there are adult hospital beds. So very concerning when we start seeing these rates of pediatric cases rise. Very concerning that, you know, schools go back really soon. And, several school systems have made the decision to require masks in the fall. Baldwin County has been one of them that came out. And we are hopeful in the medical community that the other school systems will do the same to decrease the transmission of COVID among pediatric patients.
Looking at a story from over the weekend, and after reaching out to USA Women's and Children's Hospital, this might have been from Fox 10, along with Infirmary Health, on if they saw more child hospitalizations for COVID-19, they were unable to give any data. Can you give us any data? What's going on at USA as far as pediatric cases or children actually being hospitalized?
Yeah, I can just tell you that we do have pediatric hospitalizations, and they have increased. I can't really give any numbers or anything, but we are definitely seeing them. Our emergency room is seeing an increased influx of patients seeking emergency room care due to symptoms, and we are also seeing the admissions, which again puts a strain on our health system, because not only do we take care of COVID patients, we take care of a whole lot of other patients too.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's COVID on tops. By the way, since March of 2020, Dalton, the 14-day average for, let's see here, let me get to the 5 to 17-year-olds. Since March 2020, the two-week average was 119 cases. Now it's up to 569 cases. So you're feeling those effects, right?
Yeah, and you know, right now, Mobile and Baldwin County have the highest rate of positivity in the state. Alabama has one of the highest rates of positivity in the nation. So yes, we are definitely feeling those effects.
talking with Natalie Fox, Director of Nursing with the USA Physicians Group. Natalie, so the flu has notoriously been very difficult for children and the elderly, and kind of one of the few saving graces of COVID to this point has been the relatively extremely low numbers for death for those that are younger. And now I'm wondering, it seems that more of the young children are at the very least catching this new variant. But what are you seeing in hospitals? How is this compared to the yearly, the flu sicknesses for children and even RSV, which seems to be back worse than ever this year?
Yeah, that's part of the problem right now is we're also seeing a whole lot of RSV cases out of RSV season, you know, and that's been definitely a strain that we usually don't have in these summer months. We usually don't have that into the fall and winter. And we really don't know about COVID, you know, and that had been, you know, something that we have not seen a whole lot of pediatric cases. But I can tell you in the past couple of weeks, we are seeing more pediatric cases that are requiring medical support to deal with their symptoms. And again, really, really unfortunate because a lot of these pediatric patients can't be vaccinated, right? So the Pfizer vaccine is for anybody 12 and up. The Moderna and Johnson is 18 and older. And so, again, I think we as a community and a society have to do what we need to do to protect children because it's not just been here locally. There was data out of Arkansas, out of Atlanta, about the increased number of pediatric hospitalizations related to COVID with this wave of Delta.
Maybe you can't speak to this at all. I'm just trying to find a glimmer of hope here, some better news. But Scott Gottlieb, who knows a little bit about all this, he's on the board of Pfizer, and he's been doing the weekend news shows here recently. He's been pointing out what happened in Great Britain. They had a spike with the Delta variant maybe a month ago. I don't have quite the time down on exactly when this happened, but it seems like he's putting it at about three weeks behind with what's been going on in the United Kingdom, and that they're now coming out of it, that they're naturally getting better, people are getting better, the rates are going down. Have you seen or read anything about that, or is there anything that you can that I've misrepresented there that you could straighten out?
No, and I think what you've reported is kind of what the same thing that I've just read through the media too, right? And that we can have hope in that. I think that all of us need a little bit of hope right now, but that doesn't mean we need to put our guard down. And that we need to do the mitigation strategies, which are masking, social distancing, and that big one, vaccination.
We've heard of case numbers. We've heard the hospitalizations are up. What are you seeing regarding death numbers? I think that's really important to a lot of people. Have deaths also increased, or is that expected to be following suit here with the rise in hospitalizations over the last couple of weeks?
Expected to follow suit with the rise in hospitalizations. And I think if, you know, you kind of look at our Mobile County Health Department data, they'll be releasing some more today when they update their dashboard. As we've seen hospitalizations go up, we've definitely seen deaths go up, just like, you know, the hospitalizations were low in June, and so we saw with deaths, but not so much for July, unfortunately.
So now, obviously, you're trying to get as many vaccinations completed as you can. What are the plans? I know that Mobile County Public Health Department is doing some outreach programs next few days. USA Health, you guys are down at the Civic Center. Any plans on doing any outreach?
Yeah, so we did. And we actually did outreach this weekend. We still continued to partner with local churches or any other local organizations. But Monday through Friday, I can tell you this week, we're at the Civic Center. We are also at the Strata Patient Care Center and the Maston Patient Care Center. And the Strata Patient Care Center is our largest multi-specialty physician-based office practice. And we have been providing vaccines on site here for over a month now, but normally only doing maybe like 15 or 20 a day. And on Friday, we did 85. So again, we're seeing some vaccine increase demand go in the right direction. It's just still not enough. We need a whole lot more of our local Mobilians and Baldwin County residents to come out and get vaccinated. So if that's what I encourage anybody to do, is to look on vaccinefinder.org. Talk to your trusted healthcare provider about any concerns that you may have about vaccination so you can make the right decision for you. And I can't stress enough about asking somebody in the medical field that you trust, specifically your own provider that you see day in and day out.
We're talking with Natalie Fox, Director of Nursing with the USA Physicians Group. A couple more questions for you, Natalie. Regarding vaccinations, I think the other big news this week has been the breakthrough cases for those that are vaccinated, and it's still by some being represented as extremely rare. Just from personal word of mouth, it seems like it's not as rare as maybe I've heard from the media, but what I've also seen is those that are vaccinated, even if they catch the virus, they don't seem to be doing nearly as poorly in health as those that are unvaccinated.
Right. Right. And what we're kind of seeing with that is think of it in a way. So when you're vaccinated, you get neutralizing antibodies, right? Like that's the good stuff we're looking for, or something that's going to recognize that virus and go and overtake it if you're exposed to something and it's not going to infect you. What we're seeing with the Delta is because it has 1,000 times more copies of that viral load, is that the neutralizing antibodies from your vaccine are there. They're just not there enough to quite overpower the viral load of the Delta variant is causing. So, you know, you can kind of think of it as the playing field hasn't been quite even with the Delta variant in the neutralizing antibodies that we have with vaccination. But you are correct in that the vast majority of the time, even with these breakthrough cases, we are seeing them be very mild cold-like illness. I'm not saying that there hasn't been anything outside of that, because there are. But most of the time, the vaccinated cases that we're aware of do have a milder course, which is what you ultimately want, right? The vaccines should protect you against significant morbidity, which is like significant disease, and death.
So you guys are at the Civic Center again. You'll be there, I guess, until further notice for the most part,
yeah,
right?
It looks like it, yeah.
So let's explain to everybody exactly how they are able to get a shot at the Civic Center. You know, what's the process?
Sure. USAHealthVaccines.com, and you can go on and make an appointment. You know, for a while in June and early July, we were able just to take anybody who shows up, and we will take you, but the lines get long. So appointments allow us to be timely with everybody, so you can come at a time where, you know, there's not already 40 people scheduled, so we can get you in and out faster. And again, USAHealthVaccines.com is how you can make that appointment there. Again, I can't stress enough that vaccines are available all over our city and county right now in various Walgreens, other healthcare providers like Mobile County Health Department. So, you know, vaccinefinder.org will show you vaccines at anywhere in your location by your zip code. USA Health continues to do pop-up events, again, with a lot of great community partners, the city of Mobile, and, you know, really getting out there at most city events and offering vaccine as well. One other thing I wanted to make sure we talked about, because one thing I'm getting a lot of questions about is what was also in the news last week was that booster dose, or the third dose of the Pfizer. So again, you know, the science is quickly pointing that that might be indicated to help kind of go back to that conversation I had a second ago about those neutralizing antibodies, and that that third booster dose may help increase those neutralizing antibodies to kind of level the playing field with Delta, so that they can go out and match that Delta viral load that you have with exposure to. But one thing is that, you know, I have to make clear is that we can't do that without the FDA approval. So while we're seeing it all come out, that's really great news, and we're all anxiously awaiting more approval and more guidance from the CDC, but we can't do that third booster dose just quite yet.
Natalie, just one more question for you really quickly. Of course, you and your team at USA Physicians Group, you've been fighting this on the front lines for well over a year now, and with that comes experience, right? And early on in the pandemic, just it wasn't a very good rate for those that were hospitalized compared to the fatality rate for the virus early on. I know that nurses and doctors have learned a whole lot over the last 18 months.
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about the therapeutics and just the decrease in death from just knowing more about this virus on a firsthand level?
Absolutely. And we saw that big major change, you know, from the March, April of 2020 to when we had that increased peak around the nation in January. And that's what science does. That's what evidence-based practice does. And that's what your skilled nursing and physicians and advanced practice providers like nurse practitioners and PAs do. You know, they study the evidence and they've realized what works. And there is a lot more that we know. And it's some things that are simple, right, in the way that you place patients. Some things about fluids, but then there's also been a lot of comes with the medications. And so that is a great thing. And then, you know, I would just urge everybody that we are seeing the success with medical management in the hospital as they've learned more. And so trust the healthcare providers. The healthcare providers around the country are a highly vaccinated group. And so, again, if you are able to see the way that they have been able to change and adapt and really look at how to treat patients, also, please trust that they trust in the vaccine, too, as a way to combat COVID and, again, allow us to care for a lot of other people that need services, not just COVID-positive patients.
Might be more people that are on the fence that are now coming your way, and so maybe you'll...
I sure hope so. That's what we need.
Yeah. Natalie Fox, USA, Director of Nursing at USA Health, thank you very much for your time, and folks can see you at the Civic Center today, I suppose, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Thanks again.
Thanks.
There you go. It's going to Monday recap for you. Numbers going up a little bit, but Trying to sort it all out for you. 343-0106. Give us a call. Good morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5. 8:27. Monty on the text line says, when the CDC recommends closing the border, maybe more people will take the vaccine and COVID a little more serious. I think he's got a point.
Yeah, I think the two major misses of many by the feds right now is the it doesn't match what they're saying about getting vaccinated and how important that is for everyday Americans while letting illegals stream through the southern border unvaccinated.
No sense.
And at the same time, continuing to say that breakthrough infections for the vaccinated are quote-unquote extremely rare. Maybe that's the case, but I was just talking with someone in the back here. Look at the NFL, look at MLB. It seems like there are more and more and more people who have been vaccinated that are catching the, at least testing positive for the virus. And I think maybe they need to update that language a little bit and say, well, it does look like a lot of people are testing positive after being vaccinated. The message they need to send home, and as long as it's 100% accurate, it's that it doesn't seem like you're going to get as sick if you're vaccinated. That's a change in the messaging from very early on.
Yeah, completely.
And people keep pointing out, what exactly does vaccine mean, vaccinated? It's supposed to keep you from, you know, catching the virus. And that's not the case here, but it does seem that those who are, you know, experiencing some really rough times with COVID are the unvaccinated right now.
It does. And you're right. The explanation earlier on was get vaccinated and you're not going to catch it. Now with the variant, there's a degree of walking back that statement a little bit. And that's what's frustrating a lot of people. And that's the ammunition that the people that don't want to get vaccinated go to. And I don't blame them.
Exactly. Yeah, no doubt about that. We got a message while we were on with Natalie from Michael on the FM Talk 106.5 app.
Ask her if they're testing for the Delta variant.
We got that during the interview, so didn't get it in time to ask her. What I understand is they can't tell you immediately in one of these rapid tests, you know, if you go to Walgreens or maybe one of the local you know, places you stop, what do they call them, the quick places that aren't usually very
quick. The pop-up.
Yeah, the pop-up doctors. If you get tested, I don't think they can tell you off bat whether you have the Delta variant, but once it makes its way, that test, to one of the final spots in Alabama, they're able to run some testing there, and they're all saying that the main one going around right now is the Delta variant.
I've been tested twice in the last month, I would say. And, you know, no Delta variant, no nothing so far. So that's good. And, of course, I've been fully vaccinated. I got vaccinated in April with two Pfizer shots, just to let everybody know what's going on here with that.
And we did ask Natalie, what does she think about the death rate? Will it increase? And she said, you know, with hospitalization, that usually comes weeks later. But right now, I'm not seeing the major increase in deaths in Alabama.
8:30, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, turning up your voice. Hey, y'all, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan here for the Orthopedic, Alabama Orthopedic Clinic. You know, they've got this sports team that's there just to take care of you when it comes to sports. Doctors Patton and Rocha, they deliver superior orthopedic care to athletes. And we're talking about, you know, weekend warriors to the kids who play on Friday nights. And they've got unique sports medicine services, too, to the coaches and the parents and certified athletic trainers, too. So they really, really do a great job of creating relationships and not just a service. The AOC sports team is committed to a team approach to get you back in the game. To expedite an appointment or to inquire about sports medicine coverage at an event, you can do that very easily. The AOC Sports Medicine Hotline is 251-380-SPRT. That's 380-SPRT, the AOC Sports Medicine Hotline. You can find out more online at alortho.com. It's 8:36 at FM Talk 106.5.
Now, obviously, there's a lot more going on in the state, the nation, and the world than just COVID, but that seems to be the headline most places, is the rise in this Delta variant. And Supermom asking, after our interview with Natalie Fox, she said, I'm curious, do we know the status of the rest of the world regarding COVID? Are they struggling as well? Are they back to any normalcy? I will say, I read an article this morning about Sweden Remember, early on, Sweden was pushing the no masks, no shutdown as the rest of the world shut down. And while they eventually did have a spike in Sweden, they're right now back to zero masks, zero shutdowns, and basically they're getting maybe one hospitalization a day in the entire country due to COVID, and next to no deaths. So Sweden right now not having any issue at all.
So Sweden would the thing about the United States of America is this. Well, there's a lot of things about it.
Yeah.
But you have a lot of different cultures within our American culture.
Right.
So you have a lot of people who've got different viewpoints. It's a huge country geographically, where Sweden, not so much. You have basically a culture of people.
Right.
And I wonder what they're, if they were getting vaccinated or not.
Yeah, that was my first question, was what's the vaccination rate? And I wasn't able to find that yesterday in Sweden. But obviously no place where the vaccine's more available than here in America. And looking internationally, across the entire globe, at the COVID graph, you know, that shows that basically the spikes. And if you think that globally the worst spike happened in January, really when we had the worst spike here in Alabama as well. And then there was also in May globally another major spike.
So that was
second
the one,
biggest spike globally when we were doing just fine in May.
So maybe there was the Delta variant.
Possibly.
That now is spiking. So are they recovering from that? Like with in the UK has been an example that we could take a look at.
Well, it was used as the reasoning behind a number of lockdowns. And especially, I think, 2 weeks ago, there were some pretty violent protests in Italy and Australia where they were really trying to. I mean, Australia got like one new death and shut everything down. If you think the lockdowns were ridiculous here, and they certainly were, I think, as we said at the beginning of the pandemic and the further along in this we go, I think the effects from locking down schools and businesses and sending people home, sending many times recovering or non-recovering drug addicts to live with themselves and live with their, you know, the whatever's going on in their head, I think we'll look back on that and say that was a major, major overstep. And, you know, the argument can be made, and I think it's been made well by so many, that a lot of these politicians are using COVID as just more reason to have more power. And I don't think that's the case with all of them. I think there are some politicians that have the best interests of Americans in mind. And I think that a lot of the medical community also truly does have the, you know, the best in mind for the American people. But what they look at it from is almost like the argument with Fauci very early on, which I think Fauci's gone way beyond this, and there should be further questions asked of him. But sometimes, you know, when you're talking with medical people, they're about shutting this down medically and don't necessarily have the interests of the business person or mental health in mind for everyone. And when you're just talking to someone whose life has been dealing with pandemics and epidemics, these viruses, they know how to shut it down, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's the best thing for everyone to shut something down in the way that we tried to shut it down. Remember the 15 days to stop the spread. But I think globally, you know, they did see that spike, and I'm seeing possibly a third spike here, but globally it doesn't look as bad as it did in May and January.
Natalie seems very earnest, and she certainly has the belief that the vaccine is the way to go. So here's Natalie Fox with USA Health, who I think she's careful with her choice of words and her tone as well, right? I mean, she's not screaming at the top of her lungs.
Right.
She certainly believes in the vaccine, and a lot of medical professionals believe that more people getting vaccinated would make this thing wane that much quicker.
Right.
So, but here's a interesting text. I'm not exactly sure. It may have come from Philip. The vaccine push just proves how stupid the government is. Not that I disagree with vaccinating, but when you try to force people to do something, their natural reaction is to go against it. What they need to do is tell Americans they can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
A little reverse psychology on the American people. What would happen if you told them, no, we don't have any?
Yeah, I mean, you see the fuel lines at gas stations, you know, packed when they say that maybe running out of fuel, that's when everybody goes to get fuel, right?
We did that a few months ago.
I think Philip is, well, first off, he's dead on. Anything the government tries to do, you can be guaranteed they will fail for the most part, and it'll go wrong. So by them being the biggest pusher of this vaccine, you know, after lying, Republican, Democrat, you know, there have been liars in the halls of Congress forever in America, and it seems like it's been even more heightened, the amount of lying they're willing to do to the American people. And after the last 4 years with Trump in there, and I mean, it's so obvious what happened here, and no one will talk about it, that as Trump was talking about this big push to get this vaccine ready, all of the major national media sites, all of the major Democrat politicians were saying it's impossible. Trump is gambling with the health of Americans by trying to push a vaccine out as soon as he can. All of the reporting was negative about the vaccine when it was Trump touting this Operation Warp Speed and that the vaccine would be available. And then, you know, now that he's not in office and Biden is, and it was their big push to get all these Americans vaccinated, to act like the last, you know, year and a half didn't happen at all, and that they weren't completely against the vaccine and saying it couldn't happen. I mean, the vice president said she would not take the vaccine.
I remember that.
But because it was Trump who came up with the vaccine. So Phillip's right. I mean, what goodwill have they built up with the American people that they can just expect us, expect them to come out and say one thing, and we'll all be rushing to the pharmacies to get the new federally recommended vaccine?
And they build up no goodwill. And also remember the timing of it all. Let's see. It was in November, and Trump said, we've got an announcement coming very soon. So it was, oh, I know what it was. It was released after the election.
That's right.
The Monday after the election is when the word came out.
Pfizer came out.
Right, right. That Pfizer did not announce that while Trump was still, well, he was in office, but they didn't release it before the election.
And the theory there was that the Big Pharma didn't like, you know, outside of this vaccine push, the Trump administration, and especially with Sessions, when he was Attorney General, they were going after Big Pharma and this opioid thing harder than I've seen any other administration. And I don't think pharma liked that at all. And I think that's a huge reason why Pfizer waited for that news. They said they didn't want to sway the election, but they knew that if they'd said anything, that, you know, that would have been points in Trump's direction.
They did sway the election.
Yeah.
Michael is in Robertsdale. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, good morning. All right. I'm curious to know how many other countries are just letting their border, or north border, south border, west border, be overtaken during a national epidemic pandemic.
Yeah, you know, Sweden.
I wonder how many can answer that question. How many? Is it just the stupid Democrats that are running this country now? The whole point of this, Dalton, is they want to keep this plague going.
Right.
They think it's going to help them in 2024. I guarantee you that's why they're letting the border flood in. They want this pandemic to go and go and go. Well, even if they shut the border down, COVID's going to be just around. So if everybody's sitting there waiting back that COVID ain't going to be here no more, you got another thing coming. You might as well drink another cup of coffee and eat a donut and sit back, because it's going to be here till you die.
Yeah.
Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, until they come out and say, listen, we believe, you know, these illegal, they won't say illegal immigrants, let's reset. They say these migrants that are coming from terrible places, from Central America and South America, you know, they deserve to live, and they deserve to live in America. But until we get COVID under control, we're either going to force them to all get vaccinated, or we're going to turn them around at the border. Unless the feds pulled a complete 180 and did that, then how can anyone honestly believe them when they say that you know, it's the unvaccinated that are driving these variants, and that our children, again, the recommendation is 2 years old and up to wear masks in school. And I'll say again, my two-year-old can barely wear the clothes that we put on her anymore. She's not going to keep a mask on all day. So how can you, you know, place these demands on our two-year-old American children and just let what's happening at the southern border continue to happen? Until they fix that, then why should Americans believe them or trust them?
As Dalton said last week, his two-year-old, who spent Thursday throwing shoes at him all day, she's not only non-compliant, she's kind of aggressive.
She's violent, yeah. She's like the lockdown protests in Australia.
She's going to grow
every day with my wife.
She's going to grow up to be in the roller derby. She's going to be a roller derby chick. 846 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton. Feel free to call 343-0106 and, of course, text. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. 8:51. Jeff Porcho on the way a little after 9 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, he's got another good group of guests coming on. City Council candidate Josh Woods will join Jeff in the first hour. Then WVNN's Dale Jackson. Can't wait to see what he has cooked up for today. That'll be in the second hour. Former State Representative Paul DeMarco and the chairman of the ALGOP, John Wall, in the third hour, wrapping it up for the Jeff Porcho. Plenty of texts over the last couple of segments.
Tons.
Dan out of Daphne says, just found out three more of my vaccinated friends have COVID. I thought Biden was going to stop COVID. He should be held accountable. Judging by the by what was considered, you know, what was Trump's, what he was responsible for in the last 4 years, I'd say that's fair that this is Biden's fault that the COVID spike has happened again. Don says, secondly, well, I guess I better find what Don said firstly, huh? Before getting to the before we start the sequel,
maybe. You navigate this a whole lot better than I do.
He said, I think a lot of people are forgetting to realize that this whole vaccine development is experimental. And unfortunately, those of us that have gotten it, in a way, are guinea pigs. I'm just thankful I can still get on the wheel, if you know what I mean. That was Don's first text. And then he said, secondly, what really upsets us, nobody ever seems to mention how many lives have been saved and will potentially be saved this fall by getting the vaccine. He said, I took Johnson & Johnson. I deal with the public every day. Who in their right mind would go into a battle without a shield? And why would anyone ever want to play Russian roulette with their life? Well, Don, I mean, the first thing you said answers the reason that a lot of people haven't been vaccinated. They feel like they're the human guinea pigs for this thing.
Right.
Even though are we at hundreds of millions of people have now been vaccinated, but the question is still out there, what are the long-term effects of the vaccine? What's the have there been tests on, you know, whether people will still be able to have children after being vaccinated? I'm sure we have to know at this point, right?
I don't know
if
what
the vaccine's been out longer than 9 months.
How much more do we know about the vaccine long term now than we did in December when it was first the first arms got the shot in them? I don't know. I haven't read anything where they're a lot clearer on long term effects. Now I know that
short term,
and I got it, and I was fearful of that I could get very, very sick from the virus, so I made that decision to get it. Do I understand the argument of people who have such a tremendous lack of trust in the institutions that they're not getting it? I do. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm kind of frustrated we're at this point, but I'm not blaming or I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. So, you know, that we had a call last week where it seemed like that was her argument, that was my stance on it, but it's not. If I made the wrong move, if this is all a big, none of the virus is a scam, if the vaccine somehow is out of left field and is going to do great harm to me.
It's the 5G murder weapon. Remember that.
If it's that, or somewhere in between. Somewhere in between. Then, I'll deal with the consequences. But at the same time, I'm fully vaccinated to this point, and now we find out that doesn't really mean that I'm fully vaccinated.
Yep.
If a guy, three of his friends who were vaccinated, like you're saying, it sounds like the numbers are higher than we're getting through the reports. I saw somewhere, you may have got this information to me, 20% of people who are vaccinated are new cases.
I don't think I saw that stat. That one's new to me.
Okay. Anyway, so 80% of the new cases are unvaccinated people.
Okay.
With 20%. Now, again, this is, I'm reading all the time on this stuff, and I don't remember exactly where I saw that number, but that was one that I saw recently. I saw 10%. I saw 3% are of the fully vaccinated.
The numbers are all over the place.
They are.
And, you know, we noted the long-term unknowns of the vaccine. You have to also say short-term, and there have been some brutal documentation of people who have had, you know, bad experiences with the vaccine, but it's a low number of those overall who are vaccinated who have those immediate side effects.
Yep.
And you have to say short term, the people that are vaccinated aren't the ones right now that are going through the major tough times with COVID, unless it's someone who's elderly or immunocompromised.
I can't imagine, Dalton, can you imagine being so sick where you are struggling to breathe, you need help with your air passages to just live.
Right.
I mean, aside from the sickness itself, that's got to be a pretty traumatic feeling and something I'd rather not go through.
Yeah, no doubt. Matt says, my office of 13 people are all vaccinated and 11 have caught the virus since getting vaccinated.
Crazy.
See, that's what I mean. They have to stop with this messaging that it's extremely rare breakthroughs. And if they want people to get vaccinated, say that the people that are vaccinated, while they're catching the virus, they're not, you know, not, it's not nearly as dangerous for them. But you have to ask, if people who are vaccinated, and the newest study that the CDC did finally put out over the weekend, what they used to make this recommendation, that those who are vaccinated and catch the virus carry just as much of a viral load and are just as easily spreading the virus as those who are unvaccinated, then when does it end? It's at that point, it's not a vaccine, right? I mean, it's the vaccine is working more as a therapeutic. It's keeping people from getting
really, really sick,
intensely sick.
Yeah.
But, you know, with that logic, if vaccinated people are still spreading the virus, then it's still going to be mutating and changing. And it would do that even if 90% of the world got vaccinated. There'd be more roadblocks, but there would still be that 10% out there that can, you know, catch variants of the virus.
If, for instance, 20% of the virus is being caught now by those who are vaccinated, say in the last month or whatever, okay, 20% of that, just throwing it out there, what percentage of us are catching the virus at all? For instance, what percentage in the U.S., and again, these are numbers that are just falling out of the sky, but you threw one at me earlier, something like 35% or something like that?
Yeah, because I think someone said that less than 2% of the world had caught the virus or something. May, they said 35% of the U.S. had caught COVID. That's what someone brings up here, an unnamed texter. What upsets me is the fact that they completely ignore and basically deny the statistics for all the people who have received immunity from beating the virus. It's very curious, to say the least. If we're trying to get herd immunity, then why don't we count all the people who have beaten back the virus naturally? Combined with the vaccinated people, we're in a very good place. And you would think so, right? I think at this point, a majority of America has caught COVID.
You would think.
How could we have not, at the rate that they said it spread? And obviously, a vast majority had little side effects or no side effects. Most people didn't have to go to the hospital for this. But what does this most recent spike mean?
Right. It means the variant, I guess, is what it means. And so that recent spike also throws in the fact that people who were vaccinated are getting the virus.
Yeah.
So that's where the numbers are going up. The unvaccinated have been getting the virus. Okay, y'all.
It's all very confusing.
Very.
Maybe we'll have it figured out by tomorrow morning.
You can tell it's very confusing by listening to Dan and Dalton on FM Talk 106.5. The show is Mobile Mornings. We'll talk to you tomorrow.